Hi, this is Moon to Moon. I'm Britton LaRue, your host. And this episode of Moon to Moon is very, very special. I'm so excited to share it with you. A few days ago, I sat down with my friend, my student, my client, my colleague, my collaborator, my human extraordinaire, Jonathan Coe, who had this idea of interviewing me about my story of emergence as a reader. We wanted to do this as a way of promoting the workshop Circle for Emerging Readers that opened yesterday at the time that I'm recording this, which is the morning of the new moon in Pisces on Saturday, the 13th. 11 of the 12 spots were claimed last night and across yesterday. I am so excited to say that the circle is emerging. So this really is not a promotion because I know that there's one more person that will probably come in very soon. And by the time you're listening to this, it will very likely be complete. But it's still a really beautiful conversation, and I'm really proud to share it and honored to share it and enjoy to share it. I've known Jonathan now for about a year and a half, and the world is a mysterious place. Jonathan found me from a Google search when they were looking for an astrologer. And turns out we were both born on March 4th. So we have this shared Pisces sun at 13 degrees. And over the course of that time of being an astrologer for Jonathan, I was very moved by the being that Jonathan is. And Jonathan subsequently joined all my classes, all my groups, workshops. Jonathan's been a great cheerleader for my work. And Jonathan does not come to me as like a guru. Jonathan joins lots of groups. Jonathan has many teachers, is deeply involved with other teachers. Jonathan... My point there is that Jonathan is not like my, our relationship is not such that like Jonathan only goes to me, you know what I mean? And yet we began to realize we were sort of bound in some ways that were mysterious and we can't explain them. So it's been a great joy in 2021 to shift our style of relating into one of collaboration. We've been doing different things together this year, and many listeners have been joining some of these. And when I knew I wanted to lead this spring class, I felt strongly that I knew that they would sign up, but I wanted Jonathan to come in a different capacity. And I asked him if they would be willing to be a 13th reader, so to speak, for the circle, joining me both as a student and as a teacher and guide and support for the group. So it's very fun for us to marvel and to be in wonder at the ways things work. And I'm happy to share our conversation that was on March 10th, 2021. And I hope you enjoy it very much. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to Jonathan for being all that you are and for seeing me and witnessing me and celebrating in my path. I'm so grateful to know you. I'm so grateful to celebrate you with other people, And thank you, thank you, thank you for the beautiful intention and space holding that you offered me as the leader of this conversation. I hope if you're listening that you enjoy it, and I'm wishing everyone all the best.
Hello, Britton.
Hi, Jonathan.
Great to be here with you. Thanks for having me over. As some of your listeners may know, we have the upcoming reader circle that we will be birthing together. It's called the Magician's Table, and one major component is the weekly circle fellowship for all of us to get together, to process anything that is coming up in the lesson and the weekly practicum. And I just want to center us here in this intention that I have. I'm endearingly calling this conversation Circle Fellowship Number Zero, because we are envisioning the 12 people already being here with us in this space. And I'm really wanting this conversation to be a space where we can drop into the vision that we have together. I want to hear more about your own journey as, you know, when you were an emerging reader to the astrologer that you are now. I just want to give kind of a fleshed out feel of the vision that we both have. And also I think this is a good place where listeners can really drop in to a consolidated sense of the vision and maybe any details you might want to share about the circle, because I know that, you know, we have kind of put it in different places, right? You know, we've talked about it in different forms, but this may be a good place to really kind of drop in and feel into what the circle would feel like.
Beautiful. Thank you for that intention.
Yeah. So I guess I would like to start with this word emergence, right? I was wondering what that word may mean to you, and also if you could share anything that you'd like to share about your own process of emerging as an astrologer, as a tarot reader, an intuitive guide. What was that process like for you?
So the word emergence, emerging, emergent, they're words that once you're paying attention to them, I think you'll notice people are using quite a bit, to especially to speak to this idea of like something that was previously hidden, that or concealed in some way, that unfolds or appears or is revealed, and or shall we say remembered. And for me, the process of unfolding or emerging as a reader is very different than, say, wanting to come into myself as an art historian, like my previous track, say, where with that track, becoming something was away from me and I was trying to get to it, you know, like, well, sometimes that felt like trudging through mud, you know, sometimes it felt like a mad dash in competition with other people where you want to knock them over. I mean, it just had a very different quality. And the process of emerging felt like something that happened in the dark, and that has been like slowly illuminated within and without in mysterious ways. And it's involved faith and trust in the process. And it's felt very magical because there's this sense of not knowing and then things suddenly becoming clear that were hidden or obscure in some way. And then in just trusting that something will make sense to me later, and then it does make sense to me later. All of that feels like an affirmation of the emergence. and then constellating people together in the process. And of course, being validated has been great, but it's mostly been the sense of following an emergent pattern or something that I can't fully know, but that holds me and it's taking care of me. And for me, that has just re-enchanted my relationship to living in my body, living here, being relational with other human beings, healing. I love the term emergence just because I think it carries all of those associations.
Yeah, I love what you were saying about what I'm sensing is this feeling of kind of coming back to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And which is so beautiful because in your work as an astrologer, that's what you really help people do. You help people look at their birth chart and remember for themselves, you know, why they were here, right? And so I think you mentioned in your recent podcast episode about having a knowing that one is emerging as an astrologer. I was wondering if there was a particular moment that felt really vivid for you when you kind of received that knowing, or was it more of an unfolding for you?
I think that I knew it very early in the like autodidact period of teaching myself. And it was very, very scary as it continued to unfold because I knew that the consequences of listening were going to be pretty hardcore, like just in terms of how my world was going to have to change and how what kind of obstacles I would bump into along the way that would require me to look at things that I had chosen not to look at for good reasons. Like, I don't blame myself for that, but the process of knowing that happened fairly quickly, I would say, because once I hooked into astrology and the tarot, it was an obsession like I hadn't known before, because it felt so right and it felt so important. And I felt like everyone needs to know about this. You know, I wanted to immediately take what I was receiving and pass it around. To all the people that I knew, I had no idea that this was there for them. And I had a kind of instinctual trust that I don't know yet, but I know that I will have the ability to guide or explain this in ways that can be helpful to people who maybe aren't from the like a mystical background, you know, maybe from a more intellectual background, a little bit afraid of stepping into it. I felt that I could frame things in ways that would be exciting and palatable. And the more I started visualizing myself doing that, the more excited I began to be, and just started to really like feel drained of my interest in my other passions, because I don't think that I was ever following them with the same kind of light.
Yeah. What really struck me was kind of this image, you know, that of you discovering this light, you know, and it's so much brighter for you than any other light that you were experiencing in your life. And so that was really beautiful. And do you feel like it was part of your Aries rising to just kind of go into that, you know, full on? I relate to the feeling of, you know, having insatiable interest in astrology, especially, right? Like, it's like there's always more that one can learn. And yet, you know, to me, it also feels like there is that gap, right? Between like feeling that I'm really passionate about something and feeling like I'm ready to either be giving readings to people or to even maybe talk about it publicly, because I know that, you know, some folks listening, right, might have already maybe started a consulting practice. And for some others, you know, the issue is really in speaking about it, like in being more public about it, right? Maybe you're already doing private readings. And so what was that bridge like for you? Like, how did you, how did you walk the bridge?
So I did not really know anyone that I thought would think it was a cool idea to have an astrology reading. Besides my brother who gave me my chart. Who would be interested in doing this, you know? But I had some circles from my time, my brief year on Maui, where I was able to tap into some people there who knew other people who might be able to connect me to people who'd be interested in experimenting with me. Mm-hmm. And then those people in turn had, you know, 3 to 5 people they led me to, and it just sort of went like that. But I learned very early that I desired to create a name for myself on Instagram as a way of basically sending a flare up, you know, sending my howl up to the moon to find more people. And not just use word of mouth. I want it faster. But I didn't realize that when you started an IG account, everyone from your other accounts would be notified, basically. So I very quickly was, I guess you can say, outed. It was not private anymore as soon as I did that. So I went through a kind of terrifying window of like, oh my gosh, I have no privacy in my process of emerging. This is now public. And I either hide and quit Instagram or I go for it, you know? And so I obviously decided to go for it. And that was great though, because pretty soon people were finding me like randomly through posts and using hashtags, and just, I took it upon myself to learn all about how to use Instagram for slow growth, like real growth, human by human. Mm-hmm. And so that when I decided to do a newsletter a few months after starting that, there were people that wanted to sign up for it. And so that allowed me then to keep expanding. But it took a good amount of time to work through the healing that I needed internally to process knowing that people were potentially judging me or talking about it and judging it, gossiping, wondering about my children, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Because I would have rather kind of stepped into more public light after I had more confidence. But that's just how it happened, mostly from me not understanding that Instagram was going to do that. But also being proud of myself enough to like, just keep going anyway. Recently I created an email in my newsletter talking about, working through who you're writing to, because I know that first year I was really writing to, like I was trying to convince people that I had a right to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And that's just a process I needed to go through until I felt confident enough and grounded enough in what I was doing that I was like, no, I'm writing to the people who love this and want more of this. And if they don't, that's cool too, you know? But there's a lot of internal healing that has to happen to get to that point, I think. We just don't have, in the field of astrology or tarot reading, we don't have the institutional support or the like cultural buttressing to make it easy on the psyche, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that newsletter very much, because I feel like it was something that I personally was also working through, you know, at this time, right around you know, really speaking, and it's funny, you know, because the term bypassing gets such a bad rep, right? But there is an element of like already kind of projecting yourself to that moment when you're speaking to people who are listening and receiving you with an open heart, right? And, you know, that really brought me to this idea that I think is so wonderful, you know, that you are framing this whole experience around the elements, right? And you've been having these conversations with leaders, with community, shall we say, trailblazers, you know, in their fields, right, about the elements. And I guess my question is around, if you were to look back, right, at Britain when she was emerging, which element did you feel like was most supportive to you, and which element felt like maybe was something that you really needed to work on?
I think if we're just going to speak about emerging in a kind of public way, which to me is different than, okay, I'm about to give someone a one-on-one reading. They're like different, I think, skill sets, elemental tools that you're working with. Mm-hmm. But I definitely was very aided by fire, because fire moves quickly and it burns through things and it holds you up, and it's very so lit up that you almost can't see what might be scary to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would be like in the fire of like, I want to talk about this, you know, or I want to engage with people on this. And that would light me up, I think. I also relied a lot on Earth, because there were so many new practical tools that I had to gain. Having basically, you know, never run a business, finances were always taking care of me, for me. In the academic system, like, you're handed a system, and so you just follow it, where you don't like have to go create a system for classes, for getting an email set up or whatever. When you teach a university class, and I still do, you know, you're handed your students. You don't go promoting your class. So there were all kinds of things that I've had to learn to do that are not necessarily very fun, you know, but that fire like helped me show up to the earth work of that. Mm-hmm. So I think the air is what maybe came most easily in terms of what am I going to say? Like, what do I want to talk about? The brain patterning around fear, I almost might put in earth too, because it was like the body constricting, the nervous system constricting around fear. Yeah. So it's funny, it's like some of my nerves, I think, are almost like more, I guess, air in the sense of nervous system. But, and then the water also has always come easy. Like just that sense of, if I'm going to talk about a certain, say, astrological transit or the feeling of a card, tapping into those things was more of like a gift, I would say, rather than something that I like really had to call to help me.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question the way you were thinking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, that it's interesting, because over the course of the four episodes where you're having these conversations, I think, you know, it's really fascinating for me personally, as I'm going to be going through this as well, right, as one of the participants, to really feel into which aspects of maybe fire or which aspects of earth am I still learning about and I'm still developing. And to me, what's really exciting is, you know, this, we were talking about how like this process, this container, is also space for readers to be talking with their fellow readers and doing shadow work together. You know, that to me is very, seems like a very, very juicy endeavor to be doing. To that end, you know, I was wondering if you could speak more about your vision around what kind of community we are building together here, And perhaps, you know, anything you may want to share about your own process of emergence, when you were going through it, and the kind of community that you constellated at that time, you know, because something that you said earlier, you know, was lighting this idea in me that as we step into a more authentic versions of ourselves, we also constellate around us people who can handle it.
Oh, I love that.
Right? And also at the same time, you know, we might be surprised by the people in our lives who are already there, who are just so embracing, right? And in a sense, it shifts our relationship to the world around us. But there can be fear around that. There can be trepidation around really stepping into this this change, right? Because things will be shifting. So yeah, I guess, what are your thoughts about community?
Yeah, so when things really, I did myself a tremendous service then when I signed up for the reader circle I've talked some about here and there, led by someone named Elise Enzenberger, who used to go by La Mystica Tarot. And Elise is a really good writer. And I just had a resonance with her voice. Like I felt like the person that she is probably would attract other people that have this quality that she has that I'm really into. And I was at a point where I was doing astrology readings, but I wasn't doing tarot readings yet. And it was this, she led a circle for tarot readers. And I didn't know when I signed up that she has this background in Jungian psychoanalysis and on depth in-depth psychology. So one of her main interests was to help us understand shadow work and help us understand the tools that we bring to the table. And then we did that weekly practicum, which I want to offer for our group. And sure enough, the people that she constellated were just fantastic human beings. And what I realized is over the course of it, it was really about us and not Elise, that it was her light that brought us together. But then we were so magnetized to one another, like just wanting to do a good job, like wanting to read for somebody and have someone read for us, like wanting to, I wonder what she has to say about the Empress, you know, like really just, it was just so exciting to be in this community and speak frankly about I'm working on this right now. And the whole process dropped me really deep into some of my most rich healing that I've gone through in the last few years. And it was me that did that, because the choice to sign up for the circle said, I'm ready to go to this next place with myself. And all they had to do was show up and be present for me, you know? And all I had to do was just be like, hey guys, I'm kind of like deep in some stuff right now. And everyone could just witness me and we could talk, they could tell me how they worked through things and how they handle these types of things. And it was just really powerful. As I came on the out of the other end of that, was only 6 weeks. I definitely could have done more. But so what some of us did was we kept going, we're like interacting. People who I hadn't read with yet, we got together after the class to still do that together. And that process of like, I have people who see me in this guise. Like I have people who recognize like, yeah, you're a reader. You know, I have people who are seeing me in this self-naming that I was adopting and coming into. And that was just a huge bolster. And it was soon after that that I was like, I'm going to create soft strength. You know, I had this just sense that like, I'm ready to like create my own circle of some kind. And before that, I had only been sending recordings, no face-to-face, no Zoom, no Zoom teaching, nothing, because I was afraid of the interaction. And on the other side of that, I was like, you know, I need to be working differently. I wanted to create new ways of working that put me face to face with people. And I think that says a lot for like what I got from that experience of being able to allow myself to be witnessed by them, gave me the strength, gave me the courage to be witnessed by other people. It was also in that same period, I met several other people like Natasha Levenger, who's still my dear friend and colleague. And just being able to talk like quote unquote business with someone, you know, and like, you know, if one of us are signing up for somebody's class or we learned, like we found a good article to help us figure out how to do something like businessy, you know, we touch base with each other in addition to talking about like certain kind of client personalities and things like that, so that there's someone to banter with and you're not just figuring this all out by yourself. And in the interacting, they're again witnessing you. And they believe in you. They believe in who they see you to already be. And some part of you that may still be lagging behind, like it gets that boost to like catch up with, because you're living sometimes in the past tense of yourself, you know?
Totally, totally. I feel like that is bringing up such an excellent point about emergence that I've been thinking a lot about. This idea that, you know, as much as this can be about shadow work, the shadow work is also our own inability and conditioning to not see our own light.
Sure.
Like there is a way in which seeing our own genius, right? And again, you know, that word is so loaded. But, you know, I really like this concept of everybody really having their geniuses, right? It's almost like genius is a muse, right? Rather than genius as like this exalted cultural figure. And in your conversation with Zanetta, I was just so struck by what you mentioned about having doubts about your recorded readings. And then Zanetta being able to step in and tell you their perspective about how it was something that there was something in your voice that was really transferring that energy to the client, and how that is creating an experience. And, you know, it almost seems to me like sometimes one of the best things about community is that community can really, especially, you know, when we create a community where folks are supporting each other, where folks are intentionally not stepping in with the mindset of competition, right? That they hold up the mirror for us. And the purpose of the mirror is to be able to, in a way, see your own beauty, right? Because it's not an either or. It's kind of a yes and, right? And we can all kind of see and witness each other in that process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to say about this idea of constellating the group is around intention. Is I was thinking about how a few years ago, I was hustling, stressed, trying to get Christmas together for my daughters. And just so worried that I was not going to produce the Christmas, you know? And I was telling this like beleaguered and exhausted to my beloved, just, and he's like, you don't make the magic of Christmas, they do. And I was like, what? You know, kind of blew my mind. Like, I'm not fully responsible for this. And I do think there's something like that about signing up with really clear, beautiful intention for a class. Like, I think the reason Elise's class was really magical, like Elise what is amazing, but it was also just that these certain people stepped in together with this really clear desire. You know, it's like such a clear desire for this experience. Yeah. And together we just like created this magic together because it was so clear, but we didn't have to like do anything or manage anything for that to happen. It just happened because we wanted it, you know,
totally
beyond anything that we could have even dreamed when we said, submit, I want to do this class, you know? So it's just the desire for transformation, the desire for emergence is already like everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when you put multiple people together and that aggregates, you know, it's just really, really potent.
Yeah. Which brings me, you know, to this idea of the application, right? For the magician circle, because I know that maybe there were some anxiety, you know, around this application, right? Like, what is this application doing? Yes. And I think part of that is also around deprogramming, right? From the ways in which maybe application has been used against us. Totally. And so I'm really curious to hear you talk more about this, because I have my own thoughts too and experience being in your Charting Your Course program. I remember before the very first class, you sent us this email and it had a series of prompts, you know? And I remember what I wrote there and coming back to it at the start of the final portal that we're currently, you know, this is March 2021 that we're in. And I'm looking at that and I was kind of like, whoa, you know, first of all, it took me right back to that moment, you know, when I was waiting in line to get into Trader Joe's, writing my responses to your prompt, but then also like really celebrating the ways in which basically everything has come true, you know, and there's power in naming what it is that you intend and then committing and then seeing it bloom, you know, in really non-linear ways, but which is just absolutely beautiful. So I was wondering, you know, if you feel like, was that part of the intention, you know, with the application to really kind of have people think about what they want out of the experience so that we can then step into that version of ourselves that does make, you know, the versions of ourselves that do make that happen.
Yes, 100%. I kind of forgot that about the deprogramming aspect, like, or I would have maybe said it earlier up front. Don't worry about this application, like being a test. I get really excited about the idea of asking the 12 to name it, you know, like to really commit to the naming of what they want and what their intentions are and where they are in the process, and having a kind of inventory or like a piece of evidence about where they are at the beginning of the process. The application is really 100% for them to claim and name it. And it's also just to really step into the importance of like a kind of seriousness with that, because as we've talked about, the reason it even has to be limited at all and why I couldn't have an unlimited number is because of this element of the practicum and there being this other human being that wants to work with you and needing to know that people can really be able to show up for that, being an essential part of it. And also, when I'm in many Zoom classes that are wonderful that you can listen to the replay later, or there's so many people that you have to like swipe if you wanted to look at all of them, which is fine because you're there to get the message, you know, you're not really there to interact. But I wanted a scenario where you really can learn everybody's names and you feel it when somebody's not there. And sometimes people will have a good reason and that's fine, you know, but that just generally we sense a kind of connectedness to one another. And the application is a way of naming that you understand that. And then I think when you name something, you actually make it so.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. And I think, you know, going back to this idea of community too, right? And we spoke about this in the Magician's Table webinar around how, you know, creating an opportunity for you to step into community and, you know, in this playful but at the same time serious and earnest way, right? Figure out a way that you would want to build your own community, because I think that community building skills is one that we propagate, right? As we learn how to make community in one community, we also learn how to make community in another. I still remember, you know, I think a very important part of my emergence was being in one of your Living the Science conversation. And then afterwards, you know, you reflecting back to me how my Jupiter in Cancer was really kind of, you know, taking the lead there, right? And it was not something that I personally have ever, I never thought that I would be good at it, because I've had all this Chiron, you know, wounded healer experience around community. And so I think stepping into a space where we are intentionally creating something together out of our highest intention, our hopes and dreams, is really beautiful. And it's very different than, you know, this experience of being, you know, being assigned a seat next to someone at school that you didn't know, right? Which, you know, it's funny because it sounds like, you know, this is not something that we adults carry, and yet it is, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it's not uncommon for sometimes for me to receive like, I think I'd just rather do coaching with you, you know? And I totally understand. And I think that, you know, it's not difficult to sit back in like, what is the difference between one-on-one coaching and a group community experience of basically coaching, you know? And I think that they both are very valid. And I don't speak enough about it, but one-on-one coaching with me is part of the circle. I think that, you know, there's resistance because of, you know, past experiences. There's resistance because, you know, maybe being in classes where somebody talks too much or somebody just, you're not resonating with these other people. Like, or there's resistance because you just don't want to let anybody else in, maybe, or you don't think you have the capacity for it, you know? So I think that. But when you get a smaller group of people together and there's this shared commitment, like we're gonna all jump into this, you know, that the amount of energy that that can create to circle around through the hearts of every person is really, really powerful. And I'm not, you know, ignorant to the fact that for you 12 listening, that a lot of that comes from trusting my voice and trusting your voice, Jonathan. It's like a resonance to, well, I may not be a huge fan of group stuff, you know, I may not be a huge fan of making new friends, you know, but I'm trusting that the people that constellate around these two humans are going to be people that there's some kind of resonance between us. We may be totally different people, come from totally different backgrounds, maybe even not even in the same countries, but there's some kind of connection. And I'm aware that you and I, Jonathan, are part of that, you know? And I think that that's all really actually super magical and beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, where my mind is going is around this idea that, you know, once we are let out into the quote unquote real world, right, of astrologers, healers, tarot readers, readers of any kind, everybody is going to have very different perspectives. And that is part of the learning as well, because someone's perspective could be totally triggering you. What do you do, right? And I think I'm hoping that this group can really be an opportunity to discuss that in a safe way and to maybe clear some of the biases, because I think there's a way in which when we are in that reading space, right, when, you know, two emerging readers give readings to each other, even though maybe, you know, as astrologers, one uses the Placidus house system and the other one uses whole sign, there is a way in which you are forced in a beautiful and in a gentle way, you are truly being invited into dropping that narrative, right? Dropping the narrative around this is the way.
Yes.
And, you know, this is where I feel like, you know, my moon in Gemini gets really excited about, all right, you know, let's break down these barriers about how to do something. Because maybe it's part of our journey, you know, to be dismantling, to be decoding this idea that there's one way to do things, right?
I love that so much. It's like, if we're here for a collective healing revolution, you know, we are not separate.
Yeah.
You know, what do we share? And that's why I really wanted it to be multimodality. I thought about this a lot because I could have made it for astrologers only or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that it would actually, you know, an aspiring or emerging astrologer might find the most richness from working opposite like someone who's in hypnotherapy or something like that. You know,
yeah.
Like that the two of them opposite each other, it really underlines that this is not competitive. Like we're making space for each other. We're going to receive and we're going to give. And just then walking away from you don't know what kind of tools you're going to pick up from working with people who are not in your precise modality, you know,
mm-hmm.
or your house system usage or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always more tools, especially for just learning the basics of holding space for someone. And just good questions. Someone asking just the right question that now you can be like, oh, I just love that. That's going to be in my toolkit now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, I've been thinking about this idea of getting 12 teachers, I guess in our case, getting 14 teachers and at the same time, getting 14 students, right? Which is major, you know, you're really stepping into that role of being taught and also teaching other people in this space.
Yes. Yes. So I'm so thankful that you're willing to play multi roles here so that you can really be part of that as well. I felt like as a facilitator and the bringer, you know, the person bringing it together, I'm not one of the quote unquote emerging readers in that sense,
mm-hmm.
but I think everyone who studies with me or listens to me knows that I'm a constant student.
Yeah.
And I fully, fully expect to be learning from everyone in the group mm-hmm. the entire time and beyond. It's really, I want it to feel like a collegial space that's a circle and not a space that's where I'm here and then you're just under me and then everyone else is like, you know, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, I have a couple of final questions for you.
Okay.
The first one is, if there's anything you would want to share with the 12 that are listening mm-hmm. right now, is there any message? I know that, you know, I feel like the 12 are really in very different places, right?
Yeah.
You know, some may be really comfortable with the idea of giving readings and looking to expand a little bit more. Some others are figuring out a way to be more public, right? And some others may just be already public and super resistant about maybe giving readings for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And some may be really nervous, some may be really, really excited and can't wait for day one. I was wondering if you have anything to say.
Oh, well, I definitely would say if you're a yes, like I'm hoping to see you straight away come in with your application on Friday so that it's secure. I can't wait. I mean, I think it's going to be like Christmas. Every time one comes in, it's going to be so exciting because it's going to feel almost like the coming home of it, I think will feel really great. So I know that if you're listening and this is a yes, we've probably already spoken, but maybe not. I'm so excited that they're feeling it. And I know it's coming from the heart, you know? And so to those who are waffling, I would say to tune into the heart, you know, because the brain will always have reasons to put something off to the future. The brain will always have stories about not having enough time. The brain will always have excuses why we can't. And, you know, for some people, they like legitimately can't right now. And that's okay too, you know? Yeah. But if it's a fear about change or it's a fear about empowerment that's kind of underlying all of that, I'm reaching out to that person's heart. Like, it's going to be amazing. And it's only going to be as like intense, quote unquote, or as fast paced as you're wanting it to be, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes really, quick change or huge change, huge expansion can feel very triggering for sure. I've worked with that all the time with myself. Like, whoa, 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 got to slow this down. I'm not ready for that, you know, but it's like, who's not ready? It's in many ways, it's like a past self or it's a part of my nervous system that's not quite ready. And so you can just take things as you are ready. I don't think if you say yes, that any rate of empowerment or change will happen beyond what you're actually ready for per the universe or per your guides, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. Thank you.
And I also feel like there's a magic too to the after class. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes totally. You're in the class and you're just like trying to get to class. Like you're just trying to like do the logistics of it. And maybe you're not really fully feeling like you're processing, you know, but it just continues to like it continues to integrate over time. And it's in the distance that you realize, like while I was just worried about showing up, huge things were happening below the surface for me, you know?
Yeah.
And your brain does not really actually need to process that. Your whole being is doing it.
I agree. And I think that there's almost, I think that part of what one needs to learn, right, is also this art of letting go almost, you know, because as you are filling yourself, you're going to be full, you know, and you have to let go of whatever you've been putting into yourself to welcome in something new.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, sometimes we do have to rearrange time that way. Sometimes we do have to let go of things literally in order to make time for our emergence.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time it's some of our own beliefs about ourselves, you know, it's old stories that are just, shall I say, rotting, kind of like they're ready to be cleared. And we will get into stuff like that for those that are ready to be in that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So my final question for you is, you know, you look at Britton LaRue today, right? You've written these gorgeous workbooks. You have birthed a podcast. You've, you know, come up with multiple courses at this time. You've done hundreds of readings. What would you have said, or what would you say today to Britton before, you know, picking up or, you know, reading her first astrology book before doing any readings?
Before even I found astrology?
I would say you find astrology and before you start thinking that this is your professional, that this is your professional vocation, that this is your calling.
Yeah. I would say the two things that I hear from my guides, because that's what brought me here. One is You are very wise when you listen, because sometimes I get anxious and then I drop that into listening, and it allows for things to happen much more quickly and for me to just trust when I just listen. And the other is I'm always asking for guidance. I'm asking for tips. I'm really hoping for like practical, actual things to do. And I just keep hearing to keep going. I hear, keep going. You're doing a great job.
Oh, I love that.
And so it's like, okay, well, I was hoping for something more, but and so I take that to mean like, if I'm feeling a yes, that's all part of you were very wise in your list when you listen, and just keep going, you're doing a great job, is just that sense of like feeling a yes on things, and also knowing when to just not worry about it anymore. Like sometimes I cancel things. Sometimes I let things go that I had thought I was going to fight to see happen. And I just begin to, you're very wise in your listen, you know, not right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also worked really well for me. So I guess what I'm saying is listening to when my inner guidance was the best thing that ever happened to me. Trusting that, and increasingly became easier to trust it the more I continued to see an exterior experience that was mirroring what I felt in an interior way, which is why I will be doing a lot of that focusing on inner and outer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I hope, beautiful.
That's lovely. So lovely. Thank you, Britton. I love this conversation. I feel like it was very heart opening for me. I hope it was good. The same for you.
It was. Thank you for being the leader.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jonathan Coe. Thank you, Jonathan, again. I appreciate the beautiful way that you supported that conversation with such great questions, and with your full attention and presence. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please consider rating or reviewing. It really, really helps. If you are interested in joining the workshop circle, please still get in touch with me. Let me know. It's possible that something didn't work out with one of the applicants and we may still have spots. I really don't know what's going to happen. Jonathan and I will be in close conversation over the coming months to think about how to offer this again, because there were a lot of people interested who felt like maybe just this moment in time was not quite right for them, but they knew that in the future this would be perfect for them. So we'll be working out a sense of timing for future iterations of the class, as well as the possibility that maybe there'd be more people that we can let in. But we felt for this first go at it, we wanted to keep it small to protect the intimacy of the group and simplify it, you know, on a first round. So do reach out though, because it's possible that there still is a spot open if you're listening to this before we begin on March 28th. Thank you for listening. Wishing you all the best. Cheers.